An excerpt from Ravel's Valse Noble et Sentimentale, played by Anne Martin Davis. I'm Erica Worth, and welcome to this pianist podcast. Today I am catching up with Anne, who runs her own summer festival for amateur pianists in southwest France. Anne, it's so lovely to speak to you. I'm amazed I haven't come across you sooner.
I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? I've been busy around, but we've finally collided, which is a beautiful thing, Erica.
Absolutely. Well, why I came across with you is because inside the current issue of Pianist magazine, we featured an article on the wonderful Ray Evely, who at the age of 88 took his grade 8 and passed with distinction. At the age of 88, I think I said. So
that's right.
Remarkable. And
it
I
is.
Believe you were his teacher.
I am his teacher. Exactly. Ray went viral. It was an extraordinary thing. You know, he started off with, I think it was BBC Look North, and we were chatting on there, and then he was in The Guardian, then he was in The Telegraph, and then he played live on Radio 3. So I was cooking my turkey, like you do, and I got my sprouts and everything, and then there was a sort of moment of silence as we awaited Ray. I'm can't, you know, apprehensive or what, but of course, consummate musician he is, he popped it out, and it was excellent. So
no,
proud,
I know.
Proud teacher.
Yes, I think I came across it on the BBC News. I mean, and it did go viral. You're absolutely right. I just thought it had to be inside the magazine. It's a really good feel good story. And so, Anne, what's it like? What's it like teaching, let's say, a more mature student? Is it very different to teaching youngsters?
Yeah, well, I mean, I taught for a very long time at the Royal College of Music, the junior department, which I absolutely loved. You know, I mean, the kids are very motivated, they're very engaged and everything. I now live part of the year in France, so it wasn't really practical to keep that going. But, you know, I love my adult learners. I love them. You know, they are motivated. They have brilliant and diverse backgrounds, which brings something very, very different. They've all got something very different to say. And you know, I was teaching yesterday, and I had a chap play to me some Chopin, and I was saying that I was adjudicating on Saturday, very big competition, with postgraduate students from various conservatoires. Lots of notes. I mean, it's extraordinary thing. Don't get me wrong. You know, Debussy. I mean, incredible.
Yeah.
But what was very interesting? What was very interesting was that this chap played something very simple, and it was so beautiful. And I felt a little bit emotional. And I just thought, well, yeah, because actually, do you know what? That's music.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, music, and in fact, very funnily, I'm just looking at that quote in the magazine. Ray says, everyone, absolutely everyone, has the ability to make music. It's part of being human.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And I think the difficulty for the kids today is that, you know, the pressure they're under, the result of recordings and things like that has meant that everything has to be immaculate. You know, there is no room for
mistakes.
humanity. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, I always say to, I read this in a shrink thing, where they said, not immaculate, but. I think it's a brilliant phrase. It wasn't immaculate, but the point is that you sold it to me, and I was moved. I was touched by it.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's what real musicianship, real artistry is about, isn't it? It's not about 100 notes, you know, in
No.
second.
No.
Artistry.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, it's Maria João Pires says something very funny. I mean, actually slightly bitchy as well, which of course I also like, which is she says, you know, she says there are many shows. She said, I like a show. And, you know, what she's saying is there's some extraordinary, dazzling stuff out there. But also we quite like music.
I think it's a balance, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Everybody loves to hear La Campanella.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
it's fabulous. The audience is like, you know, gasping.
Yeah, we want a bit of fizz as well, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But these adults, I mean, are there any cons? Are there any difficulties in teaching a more mature person?
Yeah.
Physical, mental?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, for sure, physical. you know, we've got funny old hands, we've got gnarly bits, haven't we? We've got bibbly bobbly bits and all sorts going on. So, but you know, there's always a way around. And actually, you know, every pianist has something about what they, you know, that they struggle with. You know, I've got these ridiculously long fingers. I hold them up, you can see, yeah.
Okay.
Very, very long fingers. And, you know, they need reining in. They're like little feral sort of guinea pigs sometimes. You know, they're sort of flying around, you know, and actually keeping a really good shape, keeping the clarity, the focus of sound is actually something I have to work on a lot. So, you know, in a way, we all have our issues. And so,
yes,
my job is to try and help work through whatever those are and help them find
yes,
you know, some ways so that they can say what they want to say.
Yes, I understand that absolutely. I mean, with Ray, for example, most of your lessons were on Zoom.
Yeah,
was that a challenge, or were that, you know?
Do you know? I think it would be impossible to teach someone you didn't know on Zoom. If you'd not met, I think that would be quite hard.
Mm-hmm.
With Ray, we were mostly on Zoom. I often get students to send in recordings prior to their lesson, so
Oh.
that because the things that you don't hear tend to be pedaling, and sort of slightly sort of nuanced things to do with sort of note length, stuff like that. So if they send in an actual recording that they've made on their phone and I can listen to that, and then we can have the lesson, and actually it's a really efficient way to work.
Yes.
But so and actually then that's absolutely fine. You know, I don't have any thing. I mean,
Yes.
there's the physical thing. Sometimes you're not always aware of how people are sitting, things like that. Again, that's why it's good to just, you know, occasionally I pop up to Yorkshire and see Ray, and you know, we just sort of tap in and just make sure that everything's sort of how it should be.
Yes, so I guess it's a bit of both again.
Yeah. Blended, exactly. It's a blended learning thing which works best, I think.
Yes. But you're very hands-on when it comes to, I know you just said you're off to France tomorrow.
Yes.
Do tell us why you have a very interesting piano summer school.
I do. Yes, I run with my partner Helen Leake, and we have a house in France, and we live in a very beautiful and rural village on the border of the Charente and the Dordogne.
Yeah.
And we have our adult piano returners come out in May and June. And we have a lovely time having you know, classes in the morning, eating French food, doing wine tastings, going on trips to local things. And we just have a very pleasant experience, really. I really love doing it. It's one of my
Wow.
favourite things I do.
I'm sure. And how long has this been going? When did you set it up?
Well, actually, funny enough, it was I met somebody called Judith Sirota on a course in the UK, and you know, she used to run Spitalfields Festival.
Yes.
And she's, how can I say, she's very persuasive. You know, she's very persuasive. And she said, "When are you going to run your own thing in France? When are you going to do that? Come on, when are you going to do that?" And I said, "Okay, yes, we'll do this." Then we had COVID, so we ended up doing an online course,
okay,
which was actually quite funny because, you know, we had sort of ta-ta-ta sort of on the table, and we had a Pero, all of us together. You know, we sort of did it as if they were here.
Yes.
And then the next year we actually ran an actual physical course, and we didn't make any money out of it. We were just sort of testing the ground, really, you know, brought people out. And I just loved doing it. We both loved doing it.
Fantastic.
And so then some piano at Le Maillard was born, and
piano at
they,
Le Maillard.
Le Maillard, yeah, and they keep coming back, you know, so that's just super,
oh,
really.
you have a lot of returnees. Yes.
Yes, it's lovely. It's a little family, you know, we have WhatsApp groups, and no, it's nice.
how many people at a time on one course?
Yeah, so we found the magic number is seven.
Okay.
The magic number is seven because it means that everybody gets to play on every day. We have partners as well, and actually quite like having the partners because they mix it up a bit, you know. And we have partner daycare, childcare for partners. There's lovely you know, there's cycle rides we send them on. We've got friends around who can show them nice places for, like, that. So there's a sort of partner creche for
Oh,
those who are non-musical. So yeah, so they're always well catered for as well. So we like having them at dinner as well because it keeps it lively and keeps it a
Wow.
bit different.
Oh, it sounds idyllic, like a summer holiday,
It
isn't it?
is. It is a bit, as I say, I think the small groups are good because we can make sure that everybody gets proper attention. They're all getting individual lessons as well. You know, and we do yoga. They're actually
Yeah.
getting some proper attention individually.
And do they have a chance to perform?
Yeah, totally. So it's lovely. I mean, the joy of France is that, it doesn't matter where you are, people go to concerts. It's kind of fantastic. So the village all come out. Yeah, the patronne come. They set out the ladies of the patronne come out and set out their cakes and their tea urn, which is sort of hilarious, really. And then they all come and they listen to the music and. We're the ladies of the piano school, and it's a sort of known thing. Because I mean, actually, one of the things we do as well is that we're using a couple of the jeets and things around the village. So, we've got the French teacher in the village. We're using people locally very much, so they're very involved in it. So, it's part of the sort of calendar in Edon, effectively.
That's amazing. You sound like it must be very full on. It must be very full on.
Yes, it is, but in a brilliant full-on way. There's full-on
Yes.
exhausting. I can't face this, and there's full-on. This is brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of it, we do sort of crash and burn, but
Sounds amazing. I mean, do you yourself have time to practice? Do you perform
yeah.
yourself?
Well, do you know? I just think it's impossible to teach unless you do practice. I mean, I was saying about our yoga teacher Denise. She does her yoga every day, and then we sometimes join her, and it's sort of the same. It's like a meditative thing that you need to be doing. And I mean, I've done fewer concerts just recently because we've been built, as I said to you ages ago, we've been building a house in London. I've been building a theatre in our barn for the piano in France. There's been a lot of building. But actually, most of my playing was tour related. So I would put together sort of unusual touring projects and take them around the festivals in Cheltenham and things like that. That's really what I used to do. I was less of a person who would play your Mozart sonata, followed by the Chopin B minor. I was
Yeah.
more someone who would actually. I mean, it started when we set Nigella Lawson's recipes to music, turn them into songs,
Goodness.
and we toured all the festivals with that, and it was quite fun. So they cooked up. So I worked with Susan Leng, wonderful mezzo, and they cooked up what we were performing for them, basically. So you did eat lemon linguine and pea souffle.
Oh, I haven't tried the lemon linguine, but I
It's actually it's, it sounds really like it won't work, but it's a triumph.
and she's become famous with that lemon linguine.
That's right, exactly. Yes, totally. Yes.
But anyway, repertoire-wise, it's interesting you're saying you do the unusual, you like rather than the Mozart and the Chopin sonatas. I believe you've got, and of course, as 2025 marks the 150th anniversary of Ravel's birth, I know that
Yes.
you have a strong affinity, passion for Ravel's music, piano music.
For sure, yes. I mean, basically, I studied. I met my piano teacher basically because I was playing. Can you hear this?
No, the sound is bad.
It
Can't
sounds
hear
bad.
it.
Sorry, sorry.
Yeah.
See, it's a Zoom
What
thing.
was it?
Well, it was the little minuet from the Sonatine of Ravel, and
Oh, yes.
I was playing it in a competition. In fact, I think. Do you know what? I think you've done this competition as well, Erica. Do you remember Surrey Young Pianist of the Year?
I did that competition when I
Yeah,
was.
no, there we go. You see, we all did. Anyway, Phyllis was adjudicating. She was judging it and played a little piece. I would have been, I think I was 10 or 11, something like that. And she said, "You'd like to teach me," which was super, and so I signed up for JD College. In fact, she didn't have any students from JD. I was very lucky. She sort of wanted to teach me. Couldn't work out why. And then, of course, it turned out that she'd played exactly the same piece to Ravel at
Wow.
the age of 11, the same age. So there was obviously some sort of, what's the
Had to
word?
be.
Sort of, yeah, exactly. Yes, it exactly chimed with her. And so off we went, and we worked our way through, you know, all of this repertoire, all of which, you know, a lot of which she played to Ravel and then went on to record.
Yes.
So I do feel connected, you know, I do feel connected to it. And I recorded, you know, everyone had a lockdown project, didn't they? So I recorded a disc of Ravel.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's a thing. For the French thing is very much in my background, I think we can say.
Because Ravel is quite tricky, the piano music. There isn't much below grade
seven.
Yeah. I mean, he's a tricky composer.
I think so. I think it's I think the issue is that you can't fake it. It's a bit more, the lines are a bit cleaner, that you're a little bit more exposed. It's definitely got more technical challenges than, say, for example, Debussy. I think there's much more Debussy that's quite approachable.
Okay.
But yes, but that's not to say that there aren't some, in fact, you've chosen some great pieces for this month's magazine. So that's not to say there aren't some things that are totally doable. And they are a great entree to this music, which is immaculate the way it's written. It's just, it's a musician's music, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's very cerebral, isn't it?
Yeah, and but yet with those extraordinary colours, always those orchestral colours in the back of his mind. So, yeah, really good.
Interesting, interesting. Mm. Oh, yeah. I don't think I've played much. I've played Poisson d'Or, which is
of Debussy. Yeah.
Hard. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, no, it is. Those little fishies, the little gold fishies, are quite awkward. No.
Yeah. Why did I think that was debut Ravel? Whoops.
Yes, two sort of what should I say, sort of very different. It's very different, isn't it, if you look at those preludes and then you look at Mirror of Ravel. They're both sort of trying to put across a sense of something, but so different in the way constructed. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know them, yeah, I mean, of course you know them, but your listeners don't know them, listen to the first set of Debussy Praise and then the Ravel Mirror, and you'll hear
yes
how differently it's constructed, this music.
Yes, interesting. Fascinating. Well, I'm going to listen to your Ravel album for sure. But I wanted to ask you, on now turning a little bit to a bit of light, like question and answery things. Some little questions I'm going to ask you out of the blue, and if you could just give me your gut reaction, that'd be great.
Okay.
First one, here we go, and it could very well be a piece by Ravel. Here we go. If you could play only one piece from now on, what would it be?
Oh, this is so cruel.
Cruel. I'm really sorry.
Am I allowed to say it?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think if it was one piece, I think actually I'd go with the Scriabin Fifth Sonata.
Wow.
But if it was a set, I would go with Ravel, the Miroir of Ravel.
Wow. Why the Scriabin Fifth Sonata?
Because I just love Scriabin as well. It's just, do you know, I think it sort of all ties up Messiaen, Scriabin, or late Debussy, all of those things. It's all sort of in the same package, but different, obviously.
Scriabin is phenomenal. I love Scriabin.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, how interesting. And you said the Miroir.
Yes, I think so. Hard, but just stunning. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there's Ravel for you.
Yeah.
Oh, and here we go. Must have been the same kind of answer. If you could play only one composer from now on, who would it be?
Well, it probably is Ravel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ravel. Or Scriabin. Can I get back to you?
Yes, of course. Do you know what's amazing? So many people come back and give their answer as Bach. Isn't that?
Of course. No, of course, but I don't feel I'm worthy. I know,
or Beethoven. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Well, no, I can. Of course, I completely understand that. Bach, yes, particularly. I mean, Bach's the daddy, isn't he? He really is.
Yes.
But I'm so on a learning curve with Bach. You know, we've been working at Piano Le Mayer with Sophie Yates, the harpsichordist.
Okay.
And so I feel it's that unconscious incompetence thing that I realise now all the things I didn't know. And so I'm a beginner, really, you know. Helen, you know, who my partner, who's also, you know, she's been working on this for sort of 4 or 5 years now, so I feel she's very, very much further down the line. I know, but you know, I so yeah, I get, you know how it is. You know how it is.
Yeah. Oh, well, all music is, you feel like you're a beginner, don't you? No matter what.
But some definitely more so than others, for sure. Yeah, I think so.
Fascinating. Okay, next question. One pianist, dead or alive, you would travel long and far to hear.
Oh, that's easy. In fact, I travelled not very far to hear her last year. Maria Jal Pires.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's the most stunning musician and also the most beautiful human being. I'd like to be her. She is. You know, we were in that theatre in Bordeaux, and it was like you were in a sort of gong, a sound bath of Steinway deep. Absolutely stunning. Just the quality of the sound. You know, the hairs on the back of the neck stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And have you met her? Have you had a chance?
No, I haven't met her. I'm going to have to do something about that. I'm working on it, actually. I've got a plan.
Where does she live? On a farm in?
Yeah, is it Portugal? Or
could
is it
be,
France?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's France, no. Spain, Portugal, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think she, didn't she retire? And then
yeah, but then she came back out again, didn't she?
Yes.
Never say never. You can't retire, can you, really?
No, that's the beauty of being a pianist. I mean, you can go
I
on
hope
into
so.
your
drop on the job. Isn't that what we all want, really? You know.
I guess so. No, that is the beauty of being a pianist. Next question.
Cool.
Any technical issues you have on the piano?
Well, like I said, I've got rangy hands. Weirdly, though, you know, my long thumbs, I'm just showing you, obviously your listeners can't see my
long very
thumbs,
long
but they're
thumbs.
Very, look at how long they are. Very helpful for Ravel, who also had long thumbs. Apparently, they said he had strangler's hands. That's not a very attractive image, is it? But that's why in things like the sonatine, the thumbs are always noodling together like spaghetti. They're always very, very busy. Crossing over, all of that stuff. Because, of course, you have these wonderfully agile thumbs that could do all of that. So that's why it's often written that way. So maybe I've got a bit of a Ravel advantage, I don't know.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you say you've got long fingers, and then there are some pianists who would die to have long fingers, you know.
What we want are builder's hands. I'd like really lovely chunky width here, I want ugly hands, really, and little short stubby stuff. That's the ideal hand.
Interesting. Okay, builder's hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, another question. What advice would you give to an amateur pianist about how to improve?
Oh, this is easy. I think you need to get yourself a good teacher. No, let's not. So I think you need to spend a lot of time trying to find a good teacher, and that it's a huge investment into what you're about to do.
Okay.
And whether that's, you know, look at Pianist Magazine, look at things, you know, read, go to local music festivals, ask around, try, you know, word of mouth. Yes. Don't Google piano teacher, because Google never brought anything helpful.
Okay.
Listen, ask for questions. And even if that person's not available and can't look after you, they will know someone good who might well have space. So I would say it's about, because, you know, this relationship is really important, and it's going to be the thing that is your sort of anchor in a way. Well, I mean, my teachers were for me. And I hope that I can be something like that for other people. But, you know, that's what it is.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think that's really, really great advice. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Another question. If you were not a pianist, if you weren't a pianist, what would you be?
Oh, yeah. Can I be an architect, please?
Yes.
I'd love to be an architect. In fact, specifically, I'd like to be Zaha Hadid. Do you know?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, last year I worked in one of her spaces. She's got, she built this opera house in Guangzhou, and I was doing some teacher training there. And it's two pebbles. It's shaped like two pebbles that overlook the Pearl River. It's utterly stunning. And, and the other thing I was thinking about was that, just now on the subject, is that Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, didn't he design the Guggenheim in his 80s? I think he did. Did you know that? The museum?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is great, isn't it? Because that means, you know, There's plenty of time. We're all right.
Absolutely, a bit like playing the piano. There's
Bit
plenty.
like Ray. Yeah, exactly. You know, we're just getting going. That's what I think.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. Okay, that's interesting. And a composer you're not quite ready for.
Does that mean I don't like or I can't play?
I'd say you can't play. You're not ready to tackle. You're not
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
you're not interested in.
Well, I could say that I don't want to play Hindemith,
Okay,
but I could say that I can't play Samuel Barber's Excursions, which I find really annoying.
really?
I don't know, there's something about them. I just can't, I don't know. I just can't, yeah. And I really love them. I just think Barber's music and the songs, it's just stunning. And so it's really annoying. And I probably just need to try a bit harder.
Have you played his sonata?
No. You see, there's another extraordinary. Have
I
you? You have.
I did that for my graduation recital.
You played that in your graduation
Oh,
recital.
I loved it, loved
Wowzers.
it, loved that 7/8 fugue at the end. Oh,
Oh, right.
but it just, yeah.
Oh,
I
okay.
don't know. Barbara is beautiful. I mean, he is beautiful, but
Well, I
maybe.
might have to try and have a go and come to you and
Oh,
talk me
you
through it.
must. I'll give you a lesson on it.
Yes, please. Yes, great.
Golly, no.
Cool.
Oh dear. Well, Liz, you've been amazing. I mean, I think we've gotten to the end of our little podcast, but
Oh, hang on, it's gone so quick. Is that all we're allowed? It's very short. Feels
well,
so
I could
short.
ask another question. Here we go.
Oh,
One
one.
person you would love to play for.
Oh, yes, I'd like to play for Poulenc. I'd like to play for Francis Poulenc. I think we would have a lovely little, play him a little improvisation, then we'd go and have a lovely lunch somewhere, wouldn't we? And he was chatty, you know, he was a very interesting, fun, playful man. I think that would be nice. Yeah.
You're right. I think his music is sometimes overlooked, isn't it, Poulenc?
Yes, I think so. And actually, I think people think it's all sort of witty, playful silliness, and it's not actually. So some of it's got real gravitas. And you look at those wind sonatas and things like that. I mean, they are stunning.
There's a lot of Poulenc I don't know, but I do know that wonderful concerto for two pianos.
Oh yes, I played
Oh,
that. A very
oh.
brief story about that, playing it with another pianist, and I can't remember which one. It's basically, it starts with the scales, doesn't it?
Yes.
He set off at a speed. I mean, it was a time warp situation. How fast was he going to play those scales? I just thought, are you having a laugh? And then the conductor looked at me and winked. Okay, it's your go now. And I watched my little fingers go up and down, they scampered up and down the keyboard like little hamsters. I was thinking, oh my goodness, okay, it just happened, so it's okay.
Is so funny. That is hysterical. I just love the magical. I think it's a slow movement, isn't it? That's
Oh, yeah, with all gamelan, all the beautiful gamelan sound.
it's dreamy.
Stunning. Yeah, really
Oh,
beautiful.
that's
Yeah.
interesting. Well, you've given me some amazing answers, I must say.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think I've got really to the end of our wonderful chat. I mean, so
Okay.
you're off tomorrow. Yeah, and you've got a great summer ahead. And for those who are interested in taking part in piano at Le
Le
Maya,
Maya.
how far in advance would they need to book, I guess?
Well, we've already got, in fact, we've got lots of people who are talking about 2026, which is great, but we don't ever start booking until probably July, when we do the current course, then we take a month off to sort of lie down, and then we put out an email. And of course, the critical thing is to be a little bit flexible if you can with your time, because of the fact that there's only 7 people on each course. So that's the thing, it's a little bit of a juggle. So usually it's July. So for 2026, it'll be July that we open up the booking.
Well, that's very interesting. Okay,
Yeah.
that's good to know.
Why are you going to come?
I might come and observe.
No, come. Yeah, no, definitely. We can have that lesson on the barber.
Exactly.
Let's
In
see.
front of the class.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Need to
put
get
me in my place.
Practicing again. That was many decades ago. Well,
Oh,
not the odd decade. Anyway. Oh, well, listen, Anne, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
No, thank you. I've enjoyed it too. Excellent.
Oh, and I hope you have a wonderful summer ahead.
Thank you.
And I look forward to getting together with you when you're back
Yeah.
over the summer.
Yeah, no, sounds lovely. It'll be time for a little catch up and a little apéro. Sounds good.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Anne.
It's a
And
pleasure.
good luck with the festival.
Thank you, Erica. It's been an absolute treat. Thank you. Okay.
Was the toccata from Ravel's Le Tombeau du Couperin, and it was played by Anne Martin Davis on her Ravel album Les Langages des Fleurs. Pianist podcasts are free, and a really good way to support what we do is by subscribing to Pianist. Visit our website at pianistmagazine.com and listen to us on YouTube by searching Pianist Magazine.